right, guys. Welcome back to the 64th episode of the 443 podcast. Coming at you from Tuesday. A little weird day.
Tuesday. Big episode, guys. Huge weekend of footy that we're going to be covering, along with some trauma-inducing experiences for a very rare City fans. Let's kick it off there, Matt. Let's head over to... What's the joke that you make for the City Stadium?
What do they call it, the library?
Yeah, something like that. Let's head over to City's ground. Tottenham 4 beating at home City 0. Matt, what were your initial thoughts on this game and reactions?
So I only got to watch the second half. I was getting my gum scraped, which is painful.
Ow.
I literally, you texted me right before I went in the chair, and it was 2-0 already because of the Madison brace.
Right.
And then I come out and I go numb the pain by going to have a brewery lunch. Mm-hmm. I have two beers. I'm not a big drinker, but I kind of needed something.
The post gum.
So I asked the lady. They have this whole brewery is set up for college football, and I say, "Hey, are all the TVs on one channel?" She goes, "No, this one's on its own." I go, "Can I sit here and can you turn on the Manchester City game? It's on NBC or USA." And she goes, "Yeah, I'll turn it on for you." She goes, "I don't know." She goes, starts watching it, and she goes, "My boyfriend's a big FIFA guy. The blue team's the good team, right?" I go, "Yeah, the blue team's the good team." He goes, "Oh, he hates them. I bet he's happy."
Hey, a lot of people were. If you were not. Well, I guess a lot of people would be happy with that result. I was going to say if you're not an Arsenal fan, but I mean, even as an Arsenal fan, that helps you guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of enjoying the Schadenfreude. I was more enjoying this one against the, what was it, Mites? They just did today.
Feyenoord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into the game itself. City started off with their usual possession style football. Did not create any chances. No De Bruyne to start. They had Phil Foden starting in place. Haven't seen much of Phil Foden this season. And it just felt like every single time City would lose the possession, their defense just fell apart. And there was no structural organization. Spurs have always been a vintage counter-attacking team. That's something Boss did not need to sort of introduce to this team, because they've done it with Mourinho, with Conte, at upsetting City by holding the low block and then just countering. And it's happened again, but this time on a whole new level, as they've now lost.
Quickly. Now five in a row.
Row
with this game, six in a row today.
Yeah, without a win. So it's troubling times for City, but we always say this. Well, not us.
Well, this is the worst he's ever done as a manager. But here's the thing. They have like an entire starting team almost gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a team that runs 16 deep, they're operating with like 11 guys, yep, and that's it. They have no bench, and Kevin De Bruyne is not fully fit.
Yeah, De Bruyne just came back for that game, and he came off the bench when it was 3-0. I mean, it was too late by then for them to scrape any sort of comeback. And Matt, I don't know if you saw Pep today after they tied Feyenoord 3-3.
He got hurt. Like, somebody cut him.
No, that was himself. So in the post-match interview, this guy was like scratching his head during the game very aggressively, to the point where he opened a cut on his nose.
So he's on a meth head? He's full meth head style?
This guy, and I don't like to use the American term, but he is a soccer psycho. So it's just like, I don't understand, and I don't know how he feels about this team, because he's been in this situation several times before, not to this extent,
yeah,
but it seems like it's really starting to catch up to him now.
But, so what I noticed was I got to watch the preview of the game before I went to the dentist, because they had shown the teams. And what I noticed on this team was it looked very the oldest players and the youngest players. They were like kind of no in between. KDB was on the bench.
Yep.
But like Haaland is like the one kind of middle, like for soccer terms. I know when you get to I'm older than
Haaland is 24. Usually a prime for a player is around 27. They don't have a player around that age. Hondohan's pushing 30. I'll tell you the people I'm most disappointed is Bernardo Silva.
I'm disappointed Kyle Walker, dog.
I mean, yeah, the whole Timo Werner thing was pretty funny. But with Bernardo Silva.
I know you like Timo, but I kind of always thought of Timo kind of as like a joke.
Oh, yeah.
And the joke just made one of the best players in the world look like a goof.
For Bernardo Silva, last season, he was their most...
Please don't come for me, Timo.
He was their most... Timo. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
Now he won't go for you.
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva was the most important player for City outside of Rodri, KDB, and Haaland. And he has not been that player for them at all this season. He's not a pressing machine. I don't know if age is starting to catch up to that sort of him. He's been a professional footballer for a decade.
Enrico Lewis, when I watched him last season, he didn't look this young. He looked like he's reverted a bit.
Yeah.
It's like they're putting too much on him.
Yeah, he's had. They're making him sort of that primary possession guy in the final third.
And I don't think he's ready.
Yeah.
I think he can be that in the future, but I just don't think. I think he needs to be treated more like an Inwari instead of like. Well, he's not even Jamal because he's been playing with them for a while.
I wouldn't say just treat him like an Inwari. It's just like he. The whole, he's naturally a right back, inverted right back. They've now pushed him into the midfield, and they've made him an advanced 10. So he's playing way outside of his
way
own
ahead of where his comfort zone is.
Yeah, so
it's just like when Southgate was trying to do
Trent
Alexander-Arnold as a midfielder.
Yeah, exactly. Rico Lewis is basically like a quicker version of Zinchenko. Like, you want him in the midfield, but a little bit deeper next to Rodri. So,
gotcha.
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'm not sure he was ready for this.
The Arsenal.
Well, if you'd said it's Zinchenko from when Zinchenko was from City.
True.
I just watched some tactical videos from that guy about how Pep shifted his fullback style 7 times since he left Messi.
Yep. And I think another problem with that is Guardiola is still playing left back. This guy's a center back, guys, and he's playing left back. He does it well. He does it okay, but. Like, the 3 goals that were scored were down the right flank, and I'm not too sure where Carvajal is supposed to be positioned in those points. So, let's go to the other side. Let's give some credit to Spurs. There's nothing else that needs to be said that they are the most high-ceiling, lowest-floor team in the league, their most confusing team in the league.
So, no, Expressions did this. I'm giving credit to Expressions. He said they are Robin Hood FC. No, because they steal from the rich, Manchester City, Manchester United, and give to the poor, Ipswich and Southampton.
That's a very, very...
Yeah,
very
like, accurate. You guys are charity FC because you just give away, used to give away stuff the last couple of years. Yeah. For no pattern to it, but he's saying that he takes from the teams that have the most and give to the teams that have the least.
I like it, too, because...
I give you credit, Expressions. Great stuff this week.
So we'll have to see where Spurs go from here. I think their December is actually kind of favorable for them. They have Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Chelsea at home, and then they go have Southampton away, United, and they end it with Liverpool, Forest, and Wolves. So it's not easy, but it's not tough, I would say. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a window for them to sneak into the
Spurs. You could take a coin and flip it on all those games, and I give them a 50 shot of winning every single one.
They have the potential to win all of those games and lose all
or
of
lose
them.
All those. Well, I don't think they lose all the games.
All of them is a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the table?
I think
real quick?
Beat Southampton pretty easily.
Manchester United has 16 points. They are 15 points off first from Liverpool. Liverpool are 8 points ahead of City. So that means there's 7-point difference between City and Manchester United from second place all the way down to 12th place.
It's a tight table, dude.
And this is why you can't rush any sort of race on anything yet. Right now, you just need to pick up wins, especially as with the winter coming.
Good evening.
Sorry.
No, and I'm with you because I know I freaked out a little bit about the Arteta stuff a while back, but I think it's because I just could not see my team doing this. Yeah. But now I'm looking at these things, and it's like West Ham is probably going to give us a challenge, but they're a beatable team.
Very.
And it's like if Liverpool slip up at all, and they almost – we'll get to them in a bit. But if you're any team because there's third of the season left, and Liverpool's only got an 8-point lead.
Right.
And because remember, they were first for a long time last year. They didn't have that big of a lead, though.
Yeah, and I feel like
they were first into 20 games, and they ended up finishing third.
Yeah, last year there was a whole games differential. Like, you guys were 3 games behind Liverpool. City was 5 games behind Liverpool.
Oh, that's right, because Liverpool didn't have any international competition.
Right,
I think
right
or continental comp.
Yeah, so by the time you guys caught up with them, you took over, and that's what went down to your two teams being the main ones in the title race. But yeah, credit to Spurs, great performance, City. Again, another worrying performance on the weekend and one today. Very important match on the weekend, which we will dive into in this episode as well. So, next game
here,
guys.
Where are we heading next, sir?
Let's head over to the Emirates. We will head over to London here. We have Arsenal defeating Forest 3-0. Matt, I just want to quickly touch Forest, and then we can praise Arsenal. Mm-hmm. there's two types of teams, of course, and I think the biggest difference is one without Morgan Gibbs-White and one's with Morgan Gibbs-White.
And Chris Wood.
Sorry.
They really, in the second half, Forrest didn't give up, and I was really impressed with them. Yeah. It just seemed like a game that Arsenal just kept turning the screw and eventually got them. Yeah. But in the second half, they were able to make it so it wasn't like what we saw today against Sporting.
Exactly.
Where they were able to hold their own once they got Wood on. They had a couple of chances that were a little spooky on me.
The quality's
there. I couldn't believe they only had 0.4 XG, though. That's what I couldn't believe, because I could have sworn they had a couple of shots at the end with Wood.
Yeah, they had like the offside goal that was this, which was
that's why I didn't count for XG. Yeah.
They look good, as you said, but yeah, it's like the team's quality is superbly diminished when these two are not on the field. Now,
That's usually the case for any team that's not a top six team.
Very true.
You have two to three talismans that power your team.
Yeah. And like
Crystal Palace last year. They had three.
Yeah. Take out Eze and Mateta or Olise. It's a different side. And we're seeing that with Palace. Matt, let's jump over to some Arsenal credit here. You guys could have scored in the first 2 minutes. Like, I think you had that Trossard opportunity. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And then the beautiful... I know a lot of people give credits to Saka on that goal, but the flick that Odegaard gave to Saka before that was so tough. I mean, Odegaard is the key, the chosen one, the captain. Now, give me your thoughts on this game with Arsenal.
So this was I wouldn't call it a perfect Arsenal game, but it was a great Arsenal game from where we've been. And I was like, the entire time it didn't look like we were going to win, but then I look back on it, it's like, I can't believe we only had 1.66 XG. When it just kept looking like they turned the screw. We rotated players. We saved our legs for today. And Wari got a goal. It was just it was a good comeback, and it was a must win, and they did it in good, like, controlling Arsenal fashion.
That was a great performance. Yeah, I completely agree. It felt like the scoreline or the XG did not reflect the scoreline. And the scoreline may have not reflected the true performance, because you guys could have possibly won by even more. So
they needed Wood Forrest to come on to stop the bleeding. And then Wari scored late too. I think he scored to 86th minute.
Yep. Assisted by Raheem Sterling. Congrats to Raheem.
Your man.
We'll give you guys we'll give you guys a very nice deal. There you go. Credits to Arsenal. Into the next game here. We have Leicester, and this we'll cover relatively quickly, but you know, gotta do our diligence here. We have Leicester losing to Chelsea 2-1 at home. Matt, before we proceed, what were your thoughts on this game?
I didn't get to watch this game. I woke up to you texting me about this game.
I was up at 5:30 a.m. for this.
So there's a guy I used to work with who'd always go, "Man, I only Tinder on the toilet. I only get updates from, I only get updates on Chelsea from Reese when I'm doing my morning break."
That's awesome. Well, not awesome, but that's hilarious. I was up for this
game. Classy guy, man. Yeah. Would only cheat on his girlfriend on days that ended in Y.
That's crazy. Wait.
That's every day.
Yeah, I was just realizing that. Oh my god.
Don't worry, that was my response the first time you said it to me.
You didn't realize.
I thought he was gonna say something like, "Only when I'm in a different zip code." I don't condone cheating at all. He was a work guy that I had to hang out with at trade conferences because he just followed me everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, he's just one of those people you sometimes have to be friends with because there's nobody else.
Well, we had mutual friends in common. Gotcha. And he was just like, we were the friends that were like the furthest apart on like the friend work friend spectrum.
So he's like not even an acquaintance, really.
An acquaintance. I know things about his life I wish I didn't know.
Well, after that conversation, yes. I bet I could agree with
him. And, but yeah, he would always, I would just be sitting like at a trade thing. He's like, "You want to get some Ewlings?" And I'd be like, "Okay." He was from Philadelphia.
No surprise there. Shout out to Philly fans.
But, so yeah. I didn't get to watch any of this game. I haven't had a chance to catch up on it, but I'm glad your boys got the win.
Yes.
Got the dub.
It was much like Arsenal's performance. It was a very good performance from Chelsea. But what happened Cole Palmer was killed. He had a boot, just raked down his Achilles, and Ndidi was not sent off. Very obvious red card, like by God, it's the Undertaker type of reaction. Like, how was that not a red card? If his career ends there,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. Like, the NFL gets criticized for protecting the big players. Like, you I come by and I tickle Patrick Mahomes and it could cause him to get hurt, I will get flagged.
Yes, comfortably.
But like, I don't understand why Cole Palmer, I don't understand why Saka, I don't understand why some of these players are not protected. They allow these things. Like,
yeah, like
I mean, no disrespect to Tomiyasu. I think he's a good guy. He didn't deserve to get his face stepped on, but if that had happened to a Cole Palmer or Bukayo Saka, I don't understand why that guy isn't getting ejected for 6 games.
Exactly. And, you know,
that was a couple seasons back, but it's all.
Yeah, I gotcha. The whole, like, memes about, like, for example, limping Saka after losses. No, like, Saka is actually in pain. Like, he is one of the most fouled players in the game because of how many dribble takes-ons that he does on a daily basis for that team. So, for that to, you know, and this being the second season of Cole Palmer, he's obviously going to get more attention. It'd be stupid not to give more attention to a player that did that last season. Yeah.
Cole Palmer should not have to get cortisol shots into his whatever leg it happened for the next 3 months without any repercussions coming to that player.
Exactly.
Because, and I can't believe I'm defending Chelsea, but I'm defending all-star players. I'm defending Erling Haaland. I'm defending, you know, Chris Wood even should fall into that category because sure. Chris Wood is the star of his team.
Yeah, and just back to the game itself, Nico Jackson was fantastic. Enzo Fernandez was good.
Cortisone shots, sorry, not cortisol.
I got you. But sort of the last few minutes of each half, Chelsea sort of struggled to see it out. And that's where the penalty for Leicester came from. But again, it's just a terribly rough game. So credit Chelsea. Into the last game of our big coverage here, we have Ipswich. Sorry. Yep. Ipswich drawing United, Manchester United 1-1. Matt, let's dive into it with the Amorim takeover.
So I thought he was very well spoken and just seemed like he was a knowledgeable coach. I haven't had much experience with him. I followed Sporting Lisbon and I bet on big games on Champions League stuff. And I thought he was a good manager. He was the one who took over after that horrible spell where they were in real danger of being in trouble financially and in the table, where their fans stormed and got the coach fired, stormed the training ground, beat up some players, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. In Portugal, it's a very serious thing with fans to player like violence. It's a very worrying subject.
But I'm worried for him already because I need to see something. I forget who they play this week, but Everton. They have an easy schedule to start this new manager on. And I think that's why they set it up this way, so he can get some reps in. If the team doesn't perform a lot better against Everton, I'm going to be worried for this manager because I think he's too good a manager to be stuck with this kind of squad.
And he's spoken publicly twice in the last 48 hours. After the game, he immediately said it's most likely going to get worse before it gets better for this team to change, which you don't want to hear from your manager. But if it takes a new manager for someone to say that, for the board to finally do something about it, it took Mourinho 8 months to say something, and look what happened to him. He's doing it right after he got hired. So I think that's very good and very important. And I completely agree with you.
They're willing to give him the time, I think he will turn this team around, but it's going to take him like Arteta. It's going to take him windows.
If he gets the Potter treatment, there's no shot for him. But he doesn't seem like that type of person that's willing to take that sort of criticism.
We forgot to say after the Leicester game, you got our boy fired, Steve Cooper.
Yes, thank you for serving Steve Cooper. Enzo Maresca has deleted one of his old team's managers.
I can't believe that. I didn't believe, like, normally they do that on a Monday.
Yeah. No, they saw him just lose to Enzo and F it. Chopped him, dude.
They're just like, out.
We wanted this, though.
Who do you think they're going to hire? I didn't want to go over this topic with you, but I forgot because we kind of did them a little bit out of my order.
Yeah.
Man United and Ipswich fans. We'll get back to you.
It has to be some sort of relegation manager. I don't think Graham Potter wants the job.
That's what I'm saying. Well, Rebecca Lowe, did you see the lowdown?
No.
She said that he's just collecting paychecks from Chelsea and he's going to come back when he's done getting his money.
Hey, if I was him, I would do the same thing.
I can't blame him.
Show up on Sky Sports every once a week and get to talk ball, and then I keep getting paid from two different people. I'll take it.
I remember when the pandemic hit and the company that just hired me felt so bad for having to let me go. They gave me 3 months' pay, all the commission I'd earned, and took care of my unemployment filings for me.
That's crazy.
So I literally got paid for 3 months and then started collecting unemployment, but that was more than my check the way that it was set up under the pandemic.
That's
dope. I'm going to tell you, I rode that for 7 months, and I'm going to tell you, it changed me.
Hey, I respect it. And I don't know who I would choose right now. I mean, they're obviously going to have to do some sort of deep dive maybe into the championship. Michael Carrick from the red middle team.
Middlesbrough.
Yes, I always forget them.
That's actually a really solid pick for them because they do kind of play similar football, and it won't be a massive regional change for them.
Did you see after the Leicester game later that night that there was Leicester players spotted at a club with the sign saying "I miss Enzo," and they were singing some sort of chant with Cooper being out or something like that. So I think the players got the memo in the locker room that he wasn't going to be returning. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
Back to Man United.
So what I was going
to
say.
Sorry, I get to take us on tangent, guys.
Oh, you're good. What I was going to say about Amorim was.
I just don't think we could say we watch football if we didn't go over that on the Buster game.
This formation and play style that Amorim deploys requires very, very specific players for the system. For example, with the Garnacho counterattack, Casemiro played a great through ball, line-breaking ball that sent Garnacho on his way. Garnacho doesn't have that second gear of pace in him that Amorim wants his left winger to have specifically. Right winger, they don't need a lot of pace because they're looking more for a support creative winger, which is what they have Ahmad doing. And I think that's why sort of right after Rashford scored in the second minute, Amorim just left the most stone-cold face after they scored, walked right back to the bench. He was not convinced that this team was going to hold on or withstand or follow what he was wanting.
So an abridged quote from my mom, she goes, "I can't believe Ipswich didn't win. After the first 10 minutes, I thought they were going to win this 2-1.
Our
mom does not follow the footy like we do. Yeah. She was just feeling the vibes.
Shut up, Mama Lloyd. After that goal, Ipswich completely took over the game. Kieran McKenna, a very good manager, very underrated manager, just completely out-tacticed this team. And
they both had the same amount of shots, but Ipswich had 6 on target. They had 4. Ipswich, even in this, had 1.99 XG to 1.27 for Man United.
It was, and if you watch this game, it was a lot more.
I think Malm was kind of spot on with what she was seeing in the vibes.
For sure. And I watched the game too, and it's like. Yeah.
I watched it too.
Ipswich did not show, United did not show anything outside of that.
If he hadn't gotten that like kind of miracle goal at the beginning, this could have very easily been a 1-0 stinker.
Yeah. And Omari Hutchinson, former Chelsea player as of last season, sold him for $25 million. Yep. And Arsenal Academy.
I thought you were trying to mess with me when you was like Chelsea product. And I was like, I think I know that guy.
With the beautiful upper 90 goal. But credit to both sides. I really want to see Ipswich stay up or at least McKenna get a better job because he is a very good manager. You ready to shoot through some of these games?
Yeah, where are we heading next?
Very quickly, quick recap of this game, guys. Even though it was a beautiful game of footy. Bournemouth at home losing to Brighton 2-1. João Pedro very early off a ricochet, and then João Pedro playing one of the assists of the season to Kiro Matoma with the beautiful finish bottom right corner. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
I'm glad that Brighton was able to lock it up before that red card, to be honest with you.
It was getting violent, yeah.
Yeah, it was a deserved red. Yeah. It was violent. Glad that Bournemouth got a goal, so at least they got a little bit of save face in the end.
Indeed. Bournemouth or Brighton right now tied with Chelsea, Arsenal for 22 points.
And isn't there another team that's right below them too?
Right below Brighton is Tottenham with 19.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Because you guys beat Forest, hence the – yeah. But yeah, this was a good performance from Brighton, but Bournemouth played really well. Again, they had windows of opportunity. Evan Nielsen just can't seem to score right now, and he was their big summer signing to replace Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to be a great signing. Still taking time for him
to adjust. I think that Cherry Prince will get him there.
Yeah, he's going to be a good striker.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that they're safe from relegation and next season.
For sure.
They will push. They'll get in some new talent. They didn't use all their money. They still have $40 million left over from the Solanke money.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that some of that needs to go to operations, but you can amortize that over and bring in some players to fit the Cherry Prince's systems.
I'm with it. Credit to Brighton. Into the next game here, guys. Slight upset. We have Villa at home drawing Crystal Palace 2-2. Matt, we talked last week.
Should have been the Eagles' win.
Yes, I agree. We talked about this, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was nice. It's nice to see you again, by the way. Not our weekly get together. You know, it's been.
It was an international break. We both kind of needed some downtime. Get some changes going on in life.
You know what, I miss this, man.
I miss it too. But I could tell that we just didn't. I didn't need you to travel all the way here to hang out and do a quick 30-minute who's going to win what.
Yeah, I feel that.
We prefer just get out of the way so you can spend some time with your lady, your cats, figuring out life.
Love my cats. Remember that.
I know. Is it cat or cats?
Cats.
Oh.
Yep. Anyways.
Would they beat up my dog?
One would, yes.
Oh, okay.
Shout out Raindrop.
Raindrop's a thug.
This was a great performance for Crystal Palace. They showed a lot of resilience in the first half, especially the early goal from Ismail Assar is what they needed from him from signing from Watford last season. But Villa, man, questions arise. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Villa, even though they had 3xG, I kind of watched this game on fast forward because I came back. I was working on a side project and I was kind of zooming through it, you know, and yeah. Villa just didn't look that dangerous to me. I don't know where that three came from.
And look at their most recent form. 4-1 loss to Tottenham, losing to Club Brugge midweek, losing to Liverpool 2-0. So they've had some tough games, mm-hmm. but and then drawing Palace.
Drawing this Palace, the comeback kid, not the Palace of last season.
Exactly. And you know who they play on the weekend, of course, when they're in the midst of a bad form? Chelsea. Because
well, and then they play Champions League tomorrow. Yeah, they play Juventus. I think it's away.
Yeah. And against the Douglas Louise, you know, yeah. weird swap that mm-hmm. they did. I don't know. No, it's at home. They're at home, though.
Oh, okay. And are they away at Chelsea?
They are. They
ooh.
Are. Chelsea, please. Please.
No, hey, even what's his name? The guy, Arsenal Fan TV, Don Robbie, said you're good.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that.
Hey, respect the Don Robbie. I always pay respects to the Don when I head to Islington. I kiss the ring. Hey. I don't want no trouble.
Hey, me too. Me too. Don, my apologies, brother. Love to roll a cigar with you sometime.
I bend the knee. I don't want no smoke. You can send that psychopath he employs onto me.
There you go. Which one? The tie? Tie?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, you ain't got a British accent.
Villa, midfield question still. It's not a convincing midfield, but hey, credit to Palace. They needed this result.
They did. And they should have gotten all 3 points.
I agree. Into the next game here, guys. We have Everton drawing Brentford 0-0. This game sort of represented the scoreline pretty well. Everton dominated this game, but they did not have very many shots on target.
27 shots?
Yeah.
For 1.5 XG.
Yeah, they had a good performance, but nothing came through for them. Brentford are a really good structured team, so...
Yeah. I didn't watch this game, but Everton must have done very well to stymie Brentford's attack. This is a team that has a good goal differential.
Especially in the first half as well. Yeah. And... we've always said it, Everton's a tough defensive side, too. So this felt like a type of game that they would have neutralized each other in the midfield.
Well, it's good to see that Everton's gotten back. Early in the season, we were getting worried where they were having those 3-2s where they get up 2 goals, try to lock it down, they couldn't do it. I remember one of the first games of the season, I watched them turn from a team into 11 guys that didn't know anybody or even how to play football. I think it was against one of the B teams, Brentford or Brighton. Yeah.
Brighton.
Yeah.
And... they're still, you know,
it was Bournemouth.
Bournemouth? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Bournemouth.
But I've been seeing a lot of things on Twitter or X. Still a lot of Dyche out fans. So I'm interested to see, you know, the reasoning behind that. I know there's no necessarily creativity, but that's never been a Dyche thing.
Well, here's the problem. I think that Everton needs to keep Dyche until they get their ownership thing sorted.
100%.
Get that through these charges, and then they can start investing some money into their team. And I don't want to see Dyche get sacked just for somebody who's better, but Everton is not this team.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of their finances, this is where they're at.
And this style suits the type of players they have suits Dyche. So I think it's a good fit right now. I wouldn't change that. Credit to both teams in a well fought draw. In the next game here, we have Fulham losing to Wolves 4-1. Matt, Arsenal B team taking a huge deficit to Gary O'Neill and his friends. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
It was like when there's the coffee shop right down there. I'd sometimes take Paco there on my walks after. Grab me some coffee, get him a pup cup. One day we go and there's a giant dog there, this like pit bull mix, real friendly to Paco. However, he didn't understand that he weighs close to 100 pounds and Paco weighs 12 pounds.
Yep.
He tried to play with Paco like they were the same size. They had this little rope bone thing, and Paco grabbed it. He grabbed it and shook Paco and threw him. I had to run over and like kind of catch him.
Yeah.
Because he flew like a foot and a half to our left.
Paco. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then he was just kind of like, Dad, I want to be in your arms. I don't want none of that smoke. That's what this looked like.
Yeah.
Like, for a little Fulham, just looked like they got shell-shocked. But instead of getting shook by a 100-pound dog, they got shook by a Cocker Spaniel.
Hey, Wolves, you're on the way up, my friends. You're on the way up. But
The ascendancy.
Indeed. Cunha has been one of the most underrated players this year for the Premier League. He has been sort of the man to step up for Wolves with Neto not being there. So very happy to see that. And then the Larson kid, the number 9 for him, he has a lot of talent as well. So I like where this Wolves team is heading. I think they're in a good direction. They just need to continue to build on it.
It was like, so Iwobi got that goal, and then it was just like, they're just like, not today, and just like went bah, bah, bah.
If Fulham had gotten a result there, I mean, they would have been on 6 wins, which would have put them into that sort of Tottenham Forest range with on 3 losses. So
that's what I was hoping for, actually.
I respect it. But nothing for them to capitalize. Credit to Wolves. Into the Sunday slate, we have Liverpool coming back 2-1 down to defeat Southampton 3-2. Matt, I'll kick this one off.
Did you watch this game?
I saw the highlights.
Okay.
But go ahead.
For somebody who watched it and kind of wanted a shake up in the title race to make it closer, I know my team benefits, but Southampton went up and then Liverpool just clawed this thing back.
I think it starts with the whole playing out of the back thing. I saw a lot of... You good?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a lot of Southampton fans and public media say they hate that Southampton builds out of the back, which I completely hate personally, but...
No, Southampton are a good coach team, but don't have the quality players to pull off the system.
Yeah. Much like Burnley last year.
You know who might... If I don't think they would give him up. Southampton's coach should go to Leicester. I think Leicester has the players from the Maresca side last year, you know, that probably could play something like he wanted. That'd be a mid-level team for them.
Yeah, and
mid-table, sorry.
I thought Southampton looked really good in these highlights.
They did.
And I don't think Salah played too well for most of the game, so it looks like they neutralized him from what I've seen. But then once the 65th minute hit from the counterattack, it was game from there. And vintage Salah.
Yeah, once the second half began, about 8 minutes in, some gear just kind of clicked in Liverpool, and I just was like, they're going to win.
Interesting to see who they play next. Always exciting to see who Liverpool play next. We'll get into
it. You know
it.
Who they play next.
I know, but I'd like to move it up a little bit. Next game, the last game of the slate here.
Monday.
I was going to do one too, but I didn't have the tone in me right
there. Do the Monday.
Thank you. Newcastle at home losing to West Ham 2-0. I've always had my criticisms of Eddie Howe. I'm waiting for other media members to talk about Eddie Howe, but no one continues to say anything about Eddie Howe. Nobody on NBC.
Eddie Howe's too nice. They know him. They don't want to talk trash.
Is it because he's English? Yes. Is that why? Gosh, dude. It's just
he looks like he's had tea with Rebecca Lowe and Robbie Musto. Not Robbie Earl. Robbie Earl is friendly to him, but he knows what's happening.
That's what I'm saying, dude. And I'm sitting here like... I get it, he's an English manager. He has a very specific style of play, but it just doesn't suit. And the whole disconnect from the midfield to attack is just so weird to me. And it doesn't seem like the type of team that should be struggling.
I think they should sack him, but I think it's too late in the season. I think they need to do it, have their guy ready to go, do it in the background.
You wouldn't take Potter over Eddie Howe or Potter? You're still keeping Eddie Howe over Potter?
I would say I trade up right now for Potter.
That's what I'm saying. And Potter gets a lot of slack for his Chelsea tenure, but you could have put Pep in that team at the time with 98 players. I know it's quote unquote 98 players now, but it was literally 98 players in his team around January. So I'm always a Potter in guy. I felt bad for that. He is still a very good manager. So, but West Ham, this was clinical. Gerard Bowen is probably the a West Ham legend now, and one of the most underrated of players of all time in the Premier League is starting to turn into. He is such a good player, and he had the assist to Wan-Bissaka, I think it was, for the second goal. Just a class player all around. So credit to West Ham. That wraps up the recap.
You want to get straight into the next week?
Let's do it.
All right, week 13.
Bring the boom. Sorry. Shout out AEW.
No, do it.
Did you see that?
No, I don't watch AEW anymore.
So they brought the big Bring the Boom guy. I don't watch AEW either, but I saw on Twitter they brought the Bring the Boom guys.
Wait a minute, is that the guy, the Rue Costco guys?
Yes, they brought the Costco guys and the Rizzler on AEW.
So there's another guy I sometimes follow who's like a guy, and I don't know if he's disabled in any kind, but he was like, check out my fit. I got the Riz. You know, I thought he was called the Rizzler. I thought they had him because I did see the clip of the Rizzler appearing. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, it's that little kid who goes, I like the big chocolate chunk cookie.
Well, that's
not a fan of the Costco guys.
Neither am I. But man, what I will say is you would appreciate.
They got stage presence, though. I'll give them that.
You would appreciate his dad's performance.
Oh, against QT?
As a wrestling fan, I actually think you would appreciate his performance.
I still listen to some wrestling podcasts, and I knew it was coming. I just didn't know who they were.
Gotcha.
Because they kept saying their names. I'm like, you should have said the Costco guy.
The entrance was cringy. It was all kind of cringy. Mm. Like, why are we bringing this guy here? But the performance, Matt. The actual performance.
I'll watch it.
I think you'd be interested.
Okay.
But let's jump into it, Matt. Who we got?
You going to watch War Games? Oh, do you want to come over and watch War Games this weekend? My buddy Juan's coming over on Saturday.
I don't know what War
Games. Oh, you're moving. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't
War Games Survivor Series from WWE. The Bloodline OG versus the New Bloodline.
Gotcha.
CM Punk, spoiler alert, guys, has joined the OG Bloodline.
Gotcha.
Because the wise man, Paul Heyman, brought in some heat.
Paul Heyman's still kicking.
Okay. Yeah, he ain't dead yet, even though they put... I think the last time you saw Paul Heyman, they were putting him through that table I showed you. Yeah. Where, like, I got emotional.
I thought he was done after that.
No, I got emotional. I was like, you're not my travel chief. I go, yeah, Paul. Yeah. And you're like, okay. I was like, that's my guy.
I'm like, consoling you. It's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right.
Yep. All right, so back to the game. If you want to come, invitation's on. I'll get some food.
I got to move.
I know, but if you need a break, but, you know.
If the lady lets me break, I'll let you.
All right, so we have a Friday game. Friday at noon, we have Southampton at Brighton.
I'm interested in this
Black
game.
Friday. I have to work.
I don't.
Good for you, sir. Remind me before this game starts, because I sometimes get into a zone at work, and I had to set an alarm day to remember to watch Arsenal.
Gotcha. I will let you know if I'm watching. But this game's going to be interesting, Matt. I think this is something for Brighton fans to be a little bit skeptical for. Because as we saw,
South Shore, baby.
Yeah, and as we saw Southampton play against Liverpool, this is not a pushover team. Who do you got in this one?
I got Brighton winning this 3-2.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go 2-1 to Brighton.
Okay. Now we move into the Saturday slate. We got 4-7 a.m. early games. First one up, Bournemouth at Wolves. Cherries going to face the Wolves.
Gary O'Neill playing his former team that he managed in Bournemouth.
They got that. And then Bournemouth not doing too great this weekend next to Wolves, who look like they're back on fire.
Yes. This game is going to be fun to watch. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw.
That's what I got too. Okay. Next up, we have Newcastle traveling south to Crystal Palace. A rebirth Crystal Palace. I got Palace win this 2-1.
So if Palace wins this 2-1, mind if I get close to this mic? Yeah. I want to see the media talk about if this guy should be still be having a job. That's all I'm gonna say. I'll back away now.
Okay.
I'm gonna all go. Right. Sorry.
No, go. Put your 2 cents in me.
I'm gonna do what?
2 cents
in where?
Put your 2 cents in. It just means like opinion in.
Well, I thought you said in me.
No, put your 2 cents in.
Me.
No, I didn't say me.
Okay. I'm gonna
I'm
pause.
Not pausing it. I'm not I'm gonna not, pause no, it. No homoing it. That's my generation's version of your pause. I didn't say that. I just put your 2 cents in. I may have tried to say mate, but I didn't
say
me.
Okay. Sorry. I had to double check you. Okay. I am gonna go I'm gonna put my 2 cents in you.
Dude,
and
you
I'm
look,
gonna go.
Guys, we need to eventually do video on this because he looked like he was just like, what the hell did you say to me? Like, we were at a bar, and I, like, said something to, like, the bartender, but he thought I was like, hey, sweetie, can I have a beer? I never say that, but, like, hey, something, sorry. Can I have a beer? And he like, looked at me like I had just, like, like smacked him on the bum or something. I was scared for a split second.
My bad. Let me put my 2 cents in you real quick. I will say 2-0 to Newcastle, but I'm worried for him.
Okay. All right, so next up we have Ipswich at Forest.
Another fun game. If Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs wide are back, I do think Forest win this 1-0. Only one.
I got a 2-2. I got another draw on this one.
I can see it.
Ipswich is coming into their own. They're feeling their oats. And
they're not a pushover.
No. What do you got? Oh, you said 2-1 or 1-0, right?
1-0 Forest.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, last game of the 7 a.m.s, we have Leicester at Brentford. Gotcha. I got the Bees winning this 3-1.
3-1?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go with Brent. And who's home? Sorry? Leicester?
Leicester at Brentford.
At Brentford. I'll go with the Bees, too. I'll go 2-1. 1-0. 1-0 to the Bees.
All right. Next up, we move into the 9:30, the marquee game. A real marquee game. A London derby. Arsenal at West Ham. They travel to the London Stadium. My Gunners.
That was a letdown. I thought it was like a marquee, like a...
Well, you know it was in North London. You know you're not playing Arsenal.
2009 Barcelona goes to play. I'm sorry.
Well, so of the London teams, I think West Ham is the fourth most important team. I think this is like it's a lesser London derby.
I'll give it to you. Who do you got?
I got Arsenal win 3-0.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also going to go 3-0 as well.
Moving to Sunday, and I am sorry in advance. Sunday, 5:30 a.m. We have Villa visit Chelsea at the Bridge.
This may be the one game that I miss all season, just because I am going to be moving and recovering. Probably that 5:30 a.m. time frame.
Hopefully, but if you have to sleep on the floor, I don't blame you.
Yeah, but if I'm up, I will be watching this game. It's a huge game with very big implications for both teams. Villa on a little bit of a slip inside right now. Chelsea on the way up.
The ascendancy.
But this is a must win for both teams. I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory.
4-2 to Chelsea for me, pal.
To Chelsea. But I'm worried. I don't like predicting my favorite team anymore now that we are decent again. Yeah. It's kind of scary. Because back then, when it was Pochettino and we were doing this podcast, I was like, hey, I'm feeling myself. Whatever. Chelsea 1-0 Leicester and they would lose and it would be okay. But... it's all good.
All right, next up, Fulham at Spurs. I predicted another 4-1 in Fulham's future.
I don't know. Fulham, Spurs, like you said, Spurs are a very Robin Hood type of team.
But Fulham aren't poor. Fulham are middle class like them.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with...
Expressions didn't tell me what happens if they play a team on their level.
I'm going to go with Fulham 2.
On the field right now, yes, money-wise. Yes. Spurs are 9 days ahead of Fulham.
Yes. I'm going to go Fulham 2, Spurs 4.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a fun game.
Everton at United to close out the 5:30. That's a lot of crazy.
Wait, who did you have in this game?
I said 4-1 Spurs.
4-1 Spurs. Gotcha. Okay.
Everton at United. I got United winning 2-1. I think Amorim gets it back into winning form.
I don't think he does. I'm going to go with another 1-1 draw here. I do think Everton have a vintage Deitch performance.
If we were in Vegas and you bet that money, I would follow you in the bet and go, hey, whatever you have, a double. I'm not a big gambler, like Rafa. I tell Rafa, but if I'm in Vegas and we're walking by a sports book,
this game's a little frightening.
I got one of those like weird drinks in my hand that's like frozen. It's got like, it's a...
the huge...
Yeah, those.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Respect.
Dude, I remember one time when I was a lot younger, I was in Vegas and I couldn't find my friends. So I just texted them. I'm at the Bellagio, sat down at a blackjack table, put $200 on the table, had the lady, I paid her. I go, you go get me one of those big drinks, whatever it costs, bring the receipt. I'll tip you double. Because I firsthand.
You're feeling yourself, man.
No, firsthand, I get double aces. She's showing a 4. I split them, get a third ace, split it, get another ace. King, or 10 value, 10 value, 10 value, 10 value. All 4 of them went 21. She busted. It was a $20 bet table.
That's 3 aces in a row. It's crazy, dude.
No, it ended up being 4. It was 4
you
deck.
You got the whole suit? Jeez,
yeah.
Bro.
No, because it was 4 deck blackjack. There was 2 diamonds, or 2 reds.
Oh, okay. But still crazy. Yeah. 4 aces on the table is insane.
Yeah. The guy next to me got so mad because he ended up busting because I took everything good out of the deck.
Were you after him or before him?
No, before him.
Wow.
And he got up and left, and it was just me and this lady, and we just kept playing. I kept winning and winning.
Respect, man. Respect.
And then my friends finally showed up, and I told them, I go, just text me where you're at, and I'll come find you.
I'm on a heater right now.
Yeah, I'm on a heater. But those were different times. I had the lady massage me when they showed up. Had the drink that went from the floor to my elbow. I'm just like, bending over, drinking, just having a good time.
That's funny, man.
All right.
I have one. Is that the last game? Sorry.
No, we have one more game. Yeah. We have City at Pool, 8 a.m. on Saturday.
Manchester City at Liverpool, the Anfield. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just a regular game.
Yeah, just a regular game.
You know, City slipping and sliding.
Pep looks like he's like the Emiratis have him, one of his children. He's got to win today. He's got to go face Liverpool at Anfield. Have they ever beat Liverpool at Anfield?
It feels like their last several meetings have been 2-2 draws.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to pick here is a 2-2 draw. But, man, I could see this going a Liverpool dominant performance.
5-1. Who do you think I got the 5?
Liverpool?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They gave up 3 goals to Feyenoord and let 4 go from Spurs.
I could see it.
Spurs. I don't know what that was.
I could see it. But that's a lot of goals, man. That's a lot of...
Well, Mo Salah needs to take off his shirt more so I can see those delicious abs. I'm not pausing. You can say it if you want.
I will hold off. I do have one
stop. You have to admit, those are some nice abs. No, just aesthetically. I'm not saying you're attracted to him. Just admit that he has a good six pack.
I would represent
sub Ronaldo, like just Ronaldo then him.
Okay, fair.
All right.
I have a stoppage.
You can't lie.
I have a stoppage time question. All right, for you.
Hit me because I don't have one for you.
What do you think in the Premier League? And I saw this on Twitter, so I know the answers.
Okay.
Who do you think right now? Think about the league, the quality in each position. Great strikers, great center backs, great midfielders. But Matt, what's up with the left-hand sided left wingers? Who do you think the best left winger in the league is? Truly. And would you? And before you answer, just while you're thinking about it, would you even be proud to say that's the best left winger in the league?
I know it's not Martinelli, but I'm proud of my left winger. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think...
Matoma?
I'm going to... It's going to be somebody
Luis
off...
Diaz?
It's going to be somebody off the wall, isn't it?
Well, it's not even... So
my just tell me the answer.
There's no answer. My point is like, these guys... The quality of the left wing position right now versus any other position in our league is so much lower, it feels like. Think about it. 7 years ago, you had Alexis Sanchez as your left winger for Arsenal. You had Eden Hazard. You had prime Heung-Min Son. And then you had who's another? I'm thinking of one other. Leroy Sané. No, he was the right winger. Who was the left winger for City at the time? Jesus? Was Jesus the left winger for a bit? Oh, Raheem Sterling. Sorry, my bad. Raheem scored 98 goals or 88 goals in a season or something like that.
Yeah, it's not an embarrassment of riches right now.
And then bring it back a little bit. What's up with the left back position? Again, I think Calafiori is a great left back.
Yeah, I'd say Calafiori is great.
Cucurella is probably the best left back in the league. But am I proud to say that Cucurella is left back in the league? It's nothing to... I'm proud as a Chelsea fan to say that Cucurella is the best left back in the league. But in terms of quality, I just feel like the left-hand side of the field right now for the entirety of the Premier League
is
lacking.
It's too short a sample size, but I am proud of Kevin Calafiori as my team's left back. Yeah. And I'm proud that he is in the conversation for being one of the top two.
Yeah.
Top three, I you know, but
because you have Kirkez out of Bournemouth, who's good. You know, you have Estupiñán from Brighton, who's good.
Isn't Kyle Walker a left back?
He's right back.
Oh,
the right backs are great. You know, but yeah, I just wanted to ask.
Jurrien Timber,
mint.
He's good.
I know, but I just like.
Yeah, it's me a Jurrien Timber.
Matt, do you have any stop?
I don't have any stoppage time for you, sir.
Guys,
ready to call it?
It was a special episode. We will see you guys next Wednesday, specifically this time around. Sorry, this weekend I will be moving. We will try to get back to our Sundays soon.
Have a safe drive home, man. Don't take any risks.
Thank you.
And live long and watch some football ads.
Deuce.